This is Curtis Armstrong, and you're listening to Drunk on Comics.
So yeah, that was Curtis Armstrong.
Yeah, that.
AKA Booger.
That, AKA Snot. Yeah. Also, because.
I just find that so. I wonder if he got to pick the name Snot.
Yeah, I don't know. That's awesome. But yeah, as you can hear, we talked to Curtis Armstrong at Motor City. This is another one of our interview specials.
Yep, which you will hear from him a little bit later.
We've got the crew from Fanboys vs. Zombies, Jerry Gaylord, Penelope Gaylord, and Brian Turner.
We got Tyler Kirkham.
We also have Michael Marici, the writer of Hoax Hunters.
And we also have Joe Eisma.
Yeah, so, and we have Tony's phone. That's a special one, though.
Hopefully you guys enjoy the interviews as much as we enjoy doing them.
Yeah, and we'll be back to chat with you when they're all done. Well, guys, we are here with Tyler Kirkham. Tyler, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. We're a little tired. It's been a hell of a fun weekend. But
yeah, heck yeah. A lot of fun. Big crowds.
Yeah.
Long lines. But yeah, I'm pooped.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just a real quick, if our listeners aren't familiar with you, kind of give us a real quick background on you know, what you've done, and we'll talk about a couple upcoming things you might have to your
show. Cool, yeah. Been doing comics for about 10 years. Started off doing a book called The Gift, independent project with Raven Gregory. And then ended up getting on at Top Cow, did books like Strike Force, Tomb Raider, The Darkness, you know, a lot of the Top Cow stuff, some crossover stuff with DC, like The Darkness, Superman, books like that. And then I ended up doing some Marvel work, and now I'm at DC.
And so, and you were doing, which one of the Green Lantern titles was it?
I started off on Green Lantern Core, and then when the New 52 launched, I started doing, I launched Green Lantern New Guardians.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yep, that's right.
Yeah, and for me, because Kyle, like, I just started reading it.
Yeah.
I stopped reading Green Lantern in the 90s, so I really, really like that issue, and really love your artwork that you've done. So,
thanks.
Sorry, I'm just a little.
No,
it's not really an interview question. I'm
I appreciate that
right now.
Well, and listeners can't see, Kevin's actually wearing his Green Lantern shirt today, too. So, you got a new project coming up called Screwed. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's a 6-issue miniseries coming out in June, June 5th. It'll be in shops. Coming out through Zenoscope. It's a modern, mature take on the Frankenstein legend with a female lead. So it fits in really well at Zenoscope. It's a horror suspense thriller.
Okay.
And we're working on issue 4 right now, so we're pretty far ahead of the game, but we're really super excited. I'm working with an up-and-coming writer, Keith Thomas, and then a good friend of mine, David Miller, who's doing the artwork in it, and he's done some stuff for Zenoscope as well. But
okay,
yeah, I mean, Screwed, the title, it's kind of got a double meaning, you know.
Yeah.
her life is screwed up, but she's screwed together, or, you know,
yeah,
she's screwed together pretty much. But yeah, it's gonna be pretty dark, you know. I'm super pumped about it. And,
yeah, I've seen a few of the preview pages, and they look gorgeous.
Thanks,
and it's one of those that I'm definitely excited about.
Awesome.
So.
Yeah, it's online right now. I think there's like a 4 or 5 page preview on some websites.
Yeah,
and stuff
I think Zenoscope has it themselves.
Okay.
But I know I've seen a few reviews out there about it,
yeah,
that had them too. So.
Yeah, and I think it's actually in the back of some of their other titles. Like,
yeah,
there's like some preview pages or something.
Yeah,
so.
It's one of the best things about that publisher is that,
yeah,
you know, they do really help show the readers what else is coming out, you know, because
exactly,
sometimes people are afraid to jump on something,
yeah,
new, and,
yeah,
you know.
And it'll be launching, like kind of an early launch at the Philly show,
okay,
Wizard World Philly, at the end of May, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, where can people go find out, besides Zenoscope, where can they check your art out and find you?
Yeah, I mean, I have a website, tylerkirkham.com, and I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and stuff, so.
Awesome.
Just Google, you know.
Google.
Power of Google.
Or, you know, or we'll probably tweet something out there,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely,
link something up. So.
Definitely put it on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get stuff up there. We'll help people find you.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
sweet.
That sounds
awesome.
Good.
Well, Tyler, thank you so much. Great seeing you again, and hopefully we'll catch up here.
You
soon.
Too. Have
All
fun,
right.
guys.
Thank you.
And we are Drunk on Comics, once again down on the convention floor at Motor City Comic Con. Matt, you having fun?
Great time.
All right. And we are here with the creators of Hoax Hunters. Guys, tell us a little bit about yourselves and what's about the book.
Sure. I'm Mike Morisi, co-writer of the book, and we describe Hoax Hunters as X-Files meets Mythbusters, where the Hoax Hunters is a reality show. And on that show, they go out into various parts of the world, and they show how things like aliens aren't real, and Bigfoot can't exist, and things like that. But in reality, all those things do exist, and it's their job to cover them up.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, yeah.
How many books deep are you guys in?
This is Steve Seeley, the other co-writer of the book. Currently, we're 9 issues down, or actually 10 with issue 0. The second trade just came out this week, and an annual comes out next month, and then it's ongoing from there after that as well.
So when you guys first started this, did you plan on it being a whole series, or did you just think it was going to be a limited series? And
we had definitely hoped for an ongoing. I mean, we obviously with any book,
we'd make it to issue 3.
Yeah, we thought possibly a 3-issue miniseries. No, but you know, that's always the possibility that it's not going to last. But our ambitions were pretty big right from the get-go.
Okay, I can definitely tell right now the art looks pretty good, so...
Thank you.
Where can our listeners pick this up at? Is it in all comic book stores? Is it online?
Everywhere.
It should be. Yeah, I mean, it's with Image, so anywhere that carries Image books, we'll be able to find it and pick it up. And, you know, Amazon has the trades, and I'm sure, you know, any, you know... I can't think of any places that sell trades, comic trades. I'm drawing to a blank. There's lots of
bookstores, bookstores and stuff.
Bookstores.
Yeah. And it's online, Comixology and all the, you know, the normal
places.
Okay, cool.
So you guys are in the digital age. You guys are on Facebook or Twitter or anything? Can listeners get a hold of you guys?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm just at Michael Morisi is my Twitter handle.
And mine's at Steve Seeley Art. But we're on Facebook as well. And we have a Hoax Hunters account on Facebook, so a little fan page.
Yeah, there's that too.
Okay. Listeners, definitely check it out. It is a book worth looking at. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
All right, guys. We are back here at the official after party at Motor City Comic Con, hanging out with some of my all-time favorite artists, all-time favorite people here at the show, Mr. Jerry Gaylord, Mrs. Penelope, a.k.a. Penny Gaylord, and Mr. Brian Turner, otherwise known
as
Jason Hollywood Westlake
and
Jay Shimko.
But they don't matter.
Yeah, no, they're kind of like the bystanders here at the, you know, the peanut gallery. They got the cheap seats, standing room only.
2 minutes are up.
Said 10, but otherwise, these guys are known as the franchise Peng Peng and Flash. So, you guys have heard us talk about them quite a bit because they are the artists on
Fanboys vs. Zombies, one of our favorite comic books.
Yes. So, welcome, guys.
Hey,
thanks
for having us.
Yeah, so you guys made a nice little trip out here from Maryland.
We did, yeah. It was about 10 hours or so.
It was a fun drive.
Yeah. First time out here.
Yeah.
Hopefully worth your time.
Absolutely.
Have a good time.
Cool. So give us a little background. Jerry, we'll start with you. We'll kind of work around. Give us a little background on how you got into comics, you know, some other stuff you've done, so people kind of have an idea about you if they haven't heard us talk about you excessively already.
How did I get into comics? Well, I've been a huge Superman fan pretty much all my life, and ever since I discovered that drawing comics was a job, is what I wanted to do. Shortly, I'd say during my first year of college was when I first kind of took a first step into doing some self-publishing. And that was when Penny and I first kind of dipped our toe in. Then maybe 2 years after that, we met Flash, and we started to put our group, Identity Comics, together. And we've been going strong ever since.
Nice. Now, Penny, how'd you get into it?
Well, I pretty much took it much more seriously after high school, and mostly after I met Jerry, and we started dating at the time, so... That he was actually my big lead into it. You know, I was always drawing little Disney princesses and things like that. But, you know, I got into anime first and then into comics after that. So,
okay.
It was like I pretty much followed him around wherever I went.
And Brian, you came along here a little bit after and somehow got in with these two.
Yeah, I actually traditionally have an animation background. So,
okay.
It was meeting Jerry that really kind of got me back into comics. I read comics growing up, a lot of Spider-Man and stuff like that. But again, I was more into the animation. Went to school for it and everything.
What type of animation?
2D traditional animation.
Like cartoons or like more graphic or?
Well, I See, this is the battle I had. I wanted to do more realistic human form animation, but I was told if I didn't do slapstick, silly, goofy stuff, that I wouldn't succeed. So I struggled with that for a while, and I taught art and all these kind of things. But then I met Jerry while I was teaching art.
Okay.
And, you know, we obviously had a similar style. We really had a respect for each other. And from that, you know, we grew into Identity Comics altogether. So
don't forget about the verses, the competition.
Oh, the verses.
Okay. Now this sounds
that was going to be my next question. Do you guys kind of have a battle? Like, who do you feel? Obviously, you each feel like you're better. You're the best.
Well, I'll tell
but
you.
But do you
right
ever
now.
Put it down and say, "Let's draw something and get a vote on"?
I think
on?
We are too humble because I'm always saying Jerry is the greatest. I mean, this is why we call him the franchise. And then he'll rebut by saying, well, actually, Flash, you're the greatest, and we need to kick me out of the group. So, I mean, it's a daily battle. Literally. We just had a battle earlier today.
I got to ask, where did the nicknames start from?
That's tough. That's tough. Well,
he's the franchise. I mean, again, Penny, through Jerry...
Yep.
Got back into comics. I, through Jerry, got into comics. So
he's he is kinda, the franchise.
He's
okay,
the franchise.
I guess.
He's now, the starter.
And I get Peng Peng, you know, that's...
That was my nickname when I was younger. So
that makes sense. Flash
has been bestowed upon me by these cool cats.
You run really fast?
Or do you draw really fast?
I do draw really fast. Jerry and I have a background in caricatures as well, and we're two of the fastest caricature artists in the D.C. area.
We're the fastest caricature artists.
We are the two fastest characters.
There are no caricature artists who are faster than
this
us.
Is
and regardless of fast, the two best.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
yeah, fuck fast. We want best.
Well, you got it with us.
Yeah.
So these two guys, he has a cousin named Brian. And it was just difficult for them to call me Brian.
Yes.
And they just said, well, you're Flash. And that was it. And I was like, all right, you're right. It fits.
Although, I got to say, you know, our listeners, I know most of them have seen the Motor City Comic Con exclusive cover of Fanboys vs. Zombies number 14. Jerry, you did that in like a day.
I did it in a day. Yeah, there was a really tight deadline. We were headed out to Chicago and... I got the note from my editor, Eric, and he says, all right, we need this for this weekend so it can be colored. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, let's do it. So
I got the frantic message from you going, I need those pictures for, I need the reference pictures, like, now. I'm like, oh, crap, okay.
Like, you know. Yeah, like, I mean, it really kind of happened in a blur, so, like, I vaguely remember doing a sketch and emailing it out, and then I think I had to run some errands while I was waiting on approval, and then after that, it was just done. It was done.
It looks great. Oh my god, it's so much. It's so much fun. So I mean, it came out perfect. We've been thrilled with it. Now, for the maybe probably new listener, because anybody that's been listening to us for a while, they know about Fanboys vs. Zombies. They know what it's about. But for the new listeners, kind of tell us, you know, what it is.
Fanboys vs. Zombies is pretty much what it sounds like. There's a group of fan boys and girls who are attending San Diego Comic-Con. They're kind of experiencing some personal turmoil amongst their group of friends. And while that's happening, the zombie apocalypse unfolds before them at Comic-Con. So the story is really about them dealing with the apocalypse. But it's a very kind of lighthearted sort of alternative take on zombies, like very much the opposite of what you might find in The Walking Dead. And
I kind of refer to it as a horror comedy.
Yeah.
Not taken too seriously. It's more fun with it.
Yeah, and the Easter eggs that are drawn in, we've talked about this a little bit this weekend. That's one of the things that hooked me on it, because like start reading it and I see something in the background, I'm like, oh my god, that's genius. Oh my god, you know, it's like, I'm like, wait, I gotta finish the story. And then I go back and I've read every issue at least twice because I want to go back and look at each panel and go, all right. And when the new one comes out, I'm like, all right, what are they hiding? What are they hiding? You know, it's like that damn like little Playboy symbol on the cover. You gotta find where it is, you know?
Yeah.
Like I had this book when I was a kid, Golden Bug. and there's a little bug. It was kind of like the Where's Waldo before Waldo was cool. Like, I'm old. Sorry, guys. But yeah, it was like you got to find where the damn little bug is on each page. It's kind of the same thing, except I don't know what I'm looking for on your guys' page.
Yeah.
So are there any other projects you guys are working on right now besides the FVZ?
Well, Jerry and I recently finished working on NFL Rush Zone, which is based on the animated series on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
We did the first issue in that. I did a free comic book day issue. We did a ton of covers. Those issues are out there. What they're doing with that is kind of a question, but we did work on that. I'm also working on some Adventure Time covers.
Okay.
It's some really cool stuff happening. I don't know if I can break the news. So
that's
some
right,
really
yeah.
cool stuff coming up. Penny?
I worked on Adventure Time cover as well for Fiona and Cake, number one. So there's that. And then what else do I do? I do a lot of different little tiny things.
You had another con exclusive, didn't you? Or was that the one?
That was the Fiona and Cake, yeah.
Jerry, what about you?
Besides Fanboys, there's the New Crusaders. I did a cover for New Crusaders a while back. I recently worked on The Legacy of the Crusaders, which is a graphic novel that Archie/Red Circle Comics will be putting out. I think it should be coming out in July. Just finished that up. That stuff is pretty cool. It's like superhero kind of stuff.
Nice.
I've done a few other covers. I just did the regular one of the exclusive covers for Regular Show number one.
Yep.
So that was a lot of fun. And the biggest thing that we're all working on, I would say, besides that, is the Brotherhood of Fighters, which is our that's going to be our creator-owned project.
You heard it here first. And when is that expected to be coming out?
Well, we're going to do a Kickstarter for it, but we're going to start really promoting it probably right around San Diego.
Yeah,
right
going
after.
Going through San Diego, leading up to our Baltimore Con.
Okay. Yes, yes. We really expect to have the book probably completed shortly after New York Comic Con, so maybe like October-ish. So we really want to have it fresh for next year's conventions.
Awesome. Yeah, it's going to be... I love your guys' work. I mean, it's so much fun. It's great.
Thank you.
We do have a couple questions that we ask a lot of our artists and writers that we talk to. One of them is particularly suited to you. You guys have a zombie plan.
Kill all the zombies.
Pretty much.
I mean, you're drawing the books, but what are you going to do? I mean,
we haven't decided which location we're going to meet up at, but we're definitely going to meet up. We get a lot of practice with this
because
we play Call of Duty zombies all the time. So we get in our tactics on that. We've got our plans based on this video game. So once we meet up, I think we'll be in good control.
Yeah, I mean, our primary focus during the zombie apocalypse will be to stick together.
Yeah,
that's
what we've learned. That's the only way to do it.
Comic
stick group. Together. Stick together, no matter what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Now, I know you're a Superman fan. Now, if you guys could draw any character out there, like, you know, do a long run on a book, and a major character, is there anybody that you would really want to do? I mean, is Superman it for you, Jerry?
No, there's a bunch of stuff out there. Like, for me, I'd want to do Superman. I'd want to do He-Man. I'd want to do... Maybe the Hulk, that would be fun. I would be willing to take a stab at like a Deadpool or a Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, it's definitely number one Spider-Man all day for me.
Yeah.
I'd love to do Spider-Man. Definitely want to jump on some Ninja Turtles.
Ooh.
I
like I said, the Ninja Turtles, I'm like, I definitely see your art style working on that really well.
Yeah, I mean, it would be fun. Yeah,
have you been reading the new run by IDW?
I try.
Enjoy it.
Penny, what about you?
Well, I'm not really a sequential artist per se, but if I were, I think I'd like to do some Gotham Girls type stuff. Any of that kind of kick-ass ladies doing their thing kind of stuff.
All right.
Tony, do we have any other questions that we want to ask?
Well, obviously, you guys are in comics. What type of comic books are you guys reading right now?
I'm a huge Ryan Ottley fan, so like I'm reading Invincible through the hardcovers.
Okay.
I can't really do the single issues because I'll like shoot myself in the face like waiting. But I really love what Ryan Ottley does, and it's a great story. And I think that's really the only thing that I'm like really following right now. Everything else I just kind of pick up here and there, like. Some of the Turtle stuff, the books that Andy Kuhn was working on.
Yeah.
I really liked what he was doing with it. Just recently picked up, what's the new Spider-Man title?
Superior.
Yeah, because we're all
huge Ramos
fans.
Yeah.
So.
That's pretty much what I'm reading.
Okay. Now did you talk Spider-Man. To Ryan Stegman here?
No.
Yeah, he's here. You gotta go see him, talk Spider-Man with him.
Yeah.
Penny, what about you? You got anything out there?
I know I'm a little late to the party, but I've been reading those like Oz books by Scotty Young and stuff like that. I know it's been out for a while, and I'm just starting to get into it. But
that's one of the best things. Though. I mean, like that's kind of how we were with like The Walking Dead. It was around issue 96 when I picked up my first trade.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I was definitely late to the game on that too, but I fell in love when I picked that up too.
So, all right, guys. Now, where can our listeners find you?
You can find us at identitycomics.com. You can find us all there.
We're on Facebook, Identity Comics
Studio.
Identity Comics Studio on Facebook.
All right, and then at your local conventions. Coming to sitting near you.
Pretty much, yeah. We're doing a bunch of shows this year. We'll be at, coming up next is Wizard World Philly. We'll be at Heroes. We'll be at
San Diego.
Otakon, Baltimore. Yeah. You name it, we'll be there.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome, guys. All right, well, thank you guys again so much for everything from, you know, drawing us into the cover to coming to Motor City and seeing us to, you know, just putting out an awesome book. I mean, it's fantastic. So, love your guys' work, and can't wait to talk to you guys again here soon.
Thanks, cool. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Cheers, guys. All right, guys, so we are here with Curtis Armstrong, well-known to most of you from a couple classic movies, Revenge of the Nerds, one of my favorite movies, yep. Better Off Dead, and currently King of the Nerds on TBS. So how you doing, Curtis?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And how are you, Derek?
We're having a great time. I mean, it's hard to not have fun at these conventions. So.
I know, they're kind of amazing. I wish I could see more of them, but I never get to.
Yeah, how many do you normally do?
Well, we haven't actually done that many. Robert and I did, we did WonderCon, we did, last year we did the one in San Diego because of Nerds.
Oh, yep.
Sure. Publicizing Nerds. Toronto, we did Toronto.
Okay.
You know, but we don't do them on a regular basis, but we're doing a lot because of King of the Nerds.
Yeah. Well, King of the Nerds had a good first season.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
So, and second season starting when?
Well, we're still casting now.
Okay.
So we're a ways away. We'll start filming mid-July.
Okay.
Okay.
And then most of it is post, you know, I mean,
yeah.
It takes forever because there's so much filming.
Yes.
So, and it has to be edited.
So is it going to take place back in Nirvana?
Well, yeah. The problem is we lost Nirvana.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
That was a nice place.
It was great, and we loved it. But the university or the people who own not the house, but the buildings next to the house, uh-huh. where the theater was, where we did all the theatrical thing, those buildings are being torn down.
Oh
no way.
And it's happening during the summer when we would be needing to be in the house. So we tried to work it out and it just never did.
Got it.
So now we're searching, in addition to Nerds, we're also looking for a place to live.
So people can still apply right now?
Oh yeah.
Awesome.
Oh yeah. It's still it goes on until mid-June.
Oh, okay. And they probably can do that through the website, TBS.com.
Yeah, TBS website, TBS.com. And we've also got something new this year where it's called the People's Nerd. So what it is there are 11 nerds, and we, meaning we, the executive producers, cast 10 of the 11.
Okay.
And the 11th nerd is chosen by vote on the internet. So anyone, any group of people who feels like they know a big nerd who they want to see on the show,
yeah,
they go to the website and vote for this nerd. The three nerds that reach to get the most votes are then taken to Los Angeles, and they go through the whole procedure, you know, tests and so on.
Yeah.
And then one of the three is picked okay. to be one of the nerds.
Awesome. Now, question for you. I mean, since Revenge of the Nerds came out, what year was that? 84. 84?
Yep.
You know, back then, nerds was kind of more of a negative term.
Yeah.
You know, now you have, you know, these conventions where everybody are celebrating.
Yeah.
You know, it's become something more that's being embraced. I mean, have you noticed that shift?
Yes, of course. And I think it's because people have just become more accepting and more tolerant in general. That's what we hope, anyway.
Yeah.
It was the whole point to the movie. You know, that Robert has the scene at the end of the movie where he says, at the pep rally.
Yeah.
And he says, doesn't matter what they called you, geek, spaz, nerd, whatever they called you, come and join us. And it was that sense of inclusiveness.
Yeah.
And people now are so obsessed with the nerd culture that they're, you know, accepting everything now. And it's become a part of pop culture in general, and people really love it.
Yeah.
So things have definitely changed. Being a nerd is a good thing.
Yeah.
It was always a good thing.
Yes.
But now
it's more socially acceptable.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Do people come out and scream out nerd to you at all?
Not really. I mainly get people yelling booger. If they yell anything.
Yeah, that, sure.
That's probably the most well-known role you've
yeah.
had.
Yeah.
You know? But
yeah.
Now, you're still doing American Dad, right?
Yep.
Okay, awesome. Do you have any other projects going on between that and King of the Nerds?
Well, I'm also now on Supernatural. I'm a recurring character on Supernatural that just started. I did the last three episodes of this past season, and I'm going back next season.
Fantastic.
And then also recurring on The New Girl, the Zooey Deschanel show.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Yeah. So, well, hey, we'll let you go. We've got a line building up here behind us, so we want to thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. Very
look
well.
Look forward
thank
to seeing you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Nice
you helped make our childhoods awesome.
Yeah.
So, I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Curtis.
Hey, thank you.
Okay.
Okay. All right, guys. We are here with Joe Eisma. How you doing, Joe?
Pretty good. How are you?
We're having a blast. We're getting tired. It's a little busy, but Joe, glad you could have you on. But for people that are not familiar with you and your work, can you give us a little background if you would?
Well, I draw a book called Morning Glories from Image Comics. It launched in August 2010, and I've been drawing every single issue since. That's basically been my main gig for the last few years.
Okay. Yeah. Now, did I see on your website you did video games? Was
yeah,
right?
yeah. I still do freelance game design. That's kind of my day job.
Okay.
I'm just doing stuff for the iPhone. It's nothing really spectacular. It's kind of just silly budget titled style games.
Are there any out there right now that you can mention?
Yeah. You know, the titles change all the time, so I'm not ever quite sure the final title. We got one called Skittle Ball, which is sort of like a bowling kind of game.
Okay.
And we have a go-kart racing game, which I don't know the title, a bumper boat kind of racing game. So it's just fun little, you know, no-brainer games, basically.
Nice. So. Now, Morning Glories has a huge cult following.
Mm-hmm.
Huge
yeah.
cult following.
Yeah.
For those of us that, you know, maybe haven't read too much, can you explain it? In a nutshell.
Yeah, I mean, you do these shows, you kind of have to do the elevator pitch of the book. So, yeah, it's basically about a prestigious prep school with a dark, sinister side. Evil teachers, supernatural entities, crazy cultists around the campus and the catacombs. And it kind of centers on this new group of students that enroll in the school, and they have to band together to try to survive and escape.
Yeah, and you know, I think probably one of the, beyond the basic scenario, one of the best, like, analogies I've heard is that it's the lost of comic books.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably our biggest influence on the book, so it's another way I describe it. It's like Lost set in a prep school.
Yeah, so, you know, constantly posing new questions, answering a few along the way that only make you question more.
Nick, the writer, and I, we're both big fans of the Chris Claremont school of comic book storytelling, where you answer something, but then it also poses more questions.
Yes, so, keep weaving the web.
Yeah.
Now, one question we like to ask ourselves: do you ever draw in like little Easter eggs?
Oh yeah, all the time. There's all kinds of Easter eggs in the book.
What are some of your favorites?
We had a guy who looked like Hurley from Lost.
Yeah.
or I think issue 8. I put stuff from like cartoons that I watch. I put little characters from my friend's books in there. My friend Charles Paul Wilson is next to me. I put one of his little toys from one of his books in one of the kids' bedrooms. So yeah, it's just random stuff that I like to throw in.
Cool. Now, beyond Morning Glories, are you doing anything else right now that people should be keeping their eye out for?
Yeah, I got a new series starting around Halloween called Art Monster. And it's basically what if Victor Frankenstein went to art school. And it's a really twisted love story. It's a 4-issue miniseries. We haven't announced a publisher yet, but hopefully pretty soon. And it'll be fun. It's a bit different in vibe from Morning Glories. Not as convoluted.
Awesome. Now, Tony, we've got a couple questions that we like to pose to artists and writers.
Yep. One of them, it's most people will ask you, if you had one superpower, what would it be and why? But we want to know, if you had two superpowers, what would they be and why?
Invisibility, obviously, because there was always that part of me in high school that wanted to be in the girls' locker room. then super speed, so I could draw faster.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
So, now, especially here, because there's a kind of a big Walking Dead presence this weekend here.
Yeah.
Do you have a zombie plan?
A what?
A zombie plan.
A zombie plan. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, basically, wherever the higher ground is in my town, get there and, you know, run over as many of my neighbors as I can to get there.
Awesome. And then the last question.
I don't remember what our last question is. I have multiple other questions I could ask.
Go for that one then first.
All right. Well, what kind of comic books do you read right now? Do you read at all?
Yeah, I do. I read a lot of independent titles. You know, I know it sounds kind of shilling, but I love what Image does. So, you know, I like Chew, Manhattan Projects.
Saga.
Yeah, Saga. Yeah. They're all great books. And I also read a lot of manga, which has been a big influence on my book. This guy, Naoki Urasawa. He's had these series, Pluto, 20th Century Boys, and Monster. Read the heck out of those. They're really fantastic.
Awesome. Well, our other question that we like to ask, if you could kill any superhero.
Oh, yeah, that question.
Make them stay dead forever. And you can kill them because it'd be a good story. You can kill them because you hate them.
Yeah.
Whatever. Who do you want? Who do you want to see die forever?
Oh, jeez. I feel like if any answer that I give will be like, "Oh God, screw that guy," and I'm never reading his book again.
Well, we're forcing you to kill the guy. How about that?
I would, you know, my gut feeling is to go with somebody from the X-Men so that they actually stay dead. So, like, I would, you know, I would say like Jean Grey, but they've actually kept her dead for a pretty good while.
Yeah, they just brought her back from the past.
Right. Yeah. So. Now, I would say Cyclops because he's a douche.
Awesome. Yes. Awesome answer. Yeah. So I do have to do one little shout out. Uh-huh. One of our very favorite listeners and supporters is a young lady in England by the name of Ari Carr.
Oh, I know Ari. Yeah.
You know Ari?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I wanted to give her a shout out because she is such a huge fan of your book.
She is awesome. I love reading her reviews and her blog posts about the book. So, Ari, you're fantastic. Thank you for reading.
So. She's going to love that.
Yeah, she will. Joe, thank you very much for taking the time.
My pleasure.
Pleasure seeing you here. And look forward to your upcoming projects.
Thanks.
All right. See ya.
So those were the interviews for today.
Yeah, we've got a bunch more. Tony, did you have a favorite out of any of those? I mean, when we were there?
I have to say what Joe said is pretty damn awesome to one of our great fans.
Yeah, and that's one of the bonuses, I got to say, though. Like, when you talk to us on Twitter or Facebook or whatever and we start to learn about you, sometimes, you know, those little things just kind of happen spur of the moment. It certainly wasn't planned. Talking to Curtis Armstrong was a huge, huge, like, major nerd moment for me,
I have to say, I was upset that I didn't get to be there for that. I was there for when we made him record the plug and everything. Super nice guy, super, you know, and
he is the epitome of nerds from back in the day and still now.
Yeah.
He's, well, the king of the nerds.
And wow. You know, the great thing about him, though, is how he was with his fans, too. And I can't say that, you know. Unfortunately, you can't say that about every single one of the media guests that go to these shows. But, man, he was fantastic. He sat there and talked to everybody, you know, for as long as he could. But, yeah, that was a really big one for me. And then, obviously, the guys from or the crew from Fanboys vs. Zombies, you know, huge thing for all of us. So make sure you guys stay tuned to our normal podcast that air every week for the comic reviews and news and all that fun stuff. And there's more interviews yet to come in the next couple weeks from Motor City as well.
Yep. And stay tuned right after this. We got that special interview with my phone.
Oh, that's right. We do have the special phone. All right, guys. We'll talk to you later.
See ya. So here's that special interview that we said with Tony's phone.
Hey, so Tony's phone, how you doing? See, here's where the phone needs to talk.
I had it on mute.
Dude, see, that's like the most...
Doing good.
Oh, okay.
So, did you have fun at Motor City Comic Con?
Wow. Are you smarter than Tony? Oh, my God. Wow, this is offensive, phone. I'm not sure about being Rickrolled.
Well, the phone jumps into half the podcast, so we figured we might interview it for a little bit. So we're not even that drunk yet.
No, not, what about you, phone? Have you been drinking? Wow, we just bleeped all that. But all right, so phone, you got any projects coming up that you want to talk about?
I like turtles.
Oh, that's great. I think we all like turtles. Yeah, and well, beyond turtles, anything else that our listeners should know about? Morphing time. No, it's not morphing time. It's drinking time. Yeah, phone is drunk. And that pretty much sums out how this interview's gone. So, all right, phone, thanks for talking to us, and we'll catch you later.
Oh, my God, who the hell cares?
Exactly. Cheers.
Thanks, phone.